When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey friends, it's Ez. Don't forget to check out my new podcast, Star Wars Hangout. We feature various content creators from all fandoms and provide detailed reviews and breakdowns of all things Star Wars. Listener emails are read and discussed on the show every week. Every subscriber, every review, and every download helps the show grow and reach more listeners. So if you have the time, type in Star Wars Hangout and hit subscribe. I'd really appreciate any form of your support. Thanks so much from your friendly flannel space wizard, Ez.
This episode of an Unexpected Podcast is dedicated to the memory of Kella Born. Kella died. Raised faithfully and birthed by J.R. Tolkien, executed by Prime Video. Thank you.
Hello, friends, and welcome to a Kella Brimber Productions. I am Ez, and with me is yours truly,
Disenchanted.
Disenchanted. And we're talking Rings of Power, baby.
We're talking Rings of Power. We're coming to you from all the corners of the Shire in the beautiful state of Ohio, in a little village called Amanda, and up in the north, farthing in the Forge of Fire, the very first Forge of Fire, which was christened back in August. And we're talking episode 7, the second to last episode in season 1, The Great Eye.
The Great Eye. The Great Eye. Did you see what I saw?
I didn't see nothing because I almost got hit by a branch, and then I said, right on, sir.
Right,
I saw our favorite character just get crushed and died. I saw that.
I honestly. I couldn't even look at the screen. Saw him there for a second, had to look away.
Should have been Valandiel. It should have been Valandiel.
Well, I mean, all I know is he lied to us. He said Ontimo lives, and he sure as heck doesn't.
Oh, man.
So you know what I'm saying, dog?
The treachery grows and deepens.
Anthony, how dare you lie to us? I will hunt you down.
He teased us, man. I thought we were...
Hold on there. Here's the thing. If we're creating this sort of fan fiction, all right, in Tolkien verse, can we...
You said it. Hey. You said it, not me.
Hey. That was a bone.
You said it.
Threw you a bone there. Can we bring him back? Is there a power? Is there a way in which he can be resurrected? Does Tolkien... I mean, I know what happens with the elves, but can Ontimo be the exception here?
I think it's I don't think we even have to go to Tolkien. I think we just go to the writers of the show, honestly.
Oh, okay.
Because it seems like you can kill and change and resurrect whoever the blank you want, dude.
Wow, that's what it seems like to me. Wow. You know.
That's what it seems like to me, my friend. A few glaring problems in this episode.
Is Isildur dead? Is he gone?
Well, I mean, like, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I'm just... This is one of the things that, like, I don't know. I don't think you even have to know the stories or the movies to be kind of frustrated by this. It's like they're like we're being titillated by the wrong. Are they alive? Like all of the characters who could have died because they're created characters, they all freaking lived except for Ontimo. Right, which is the saddest one of all. They all lived, and the one that we know, well, I can't even say that now, Ez.
No, you better not.
I can't say that now because one who, like, this is what this. I can't get over this. I can't get over the fact that, like, I know that we had there was a part of us that kind of maybe thought that this was where it was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we all kind of held out hope for, okay, we're either going to see Galadriel and Celeborn get together in the next four seasons, or we're going to learn that he is, you know, her husband. And what we learn is that he's dead. That Celeborn, the Lord of Lothlorien, is dead.
He's dead.
Okay. And so now my mind goes to, wow, I really hope they had their daughter.
Wow.
Because if they didn't have their daughter, that means there's no Arwen. If there's no Arwen, Aragorn's the repercussions of, like, my God, it kept hitting me today. I was like, Dad hasn't watched the episode yet. And I was talking to my dad about this, right?
Because
there are very few people in my life who actually do care about you know, Lord of the Rings and the show and everything. And
sure.
Then furthermore, my you know, like my whatever I'm going through right now, this phase of my life. And and I was like, I just kept, like, things would come back to me about, like, not even just Celeborn in the books, who is much more interesting and much more fleshed out, like, not tons, but way more than the movies. But, like, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. He gives Aragorn his dagger, man. And he says, you're being tracked, baby. You're being tracked. He's also there when they sail into the West.
Jaminy.
Right?
Jaminy.
Am I wrong? So it's like, I don't know. Like, that seems, I'm starting to see where Tom Shippey was like, I'm out, guys.
You kill him,
boy. The pillars are being moved. You're moving the pillars. You can't create made-up characters and then kill the ones that are actually there. And not only kill them,
tell them.
But like, let's end this
preach
episode.
It, son.
You got Elendil sitting there going, I never should have helped that bloody Galadriel.
Right.
Yep. Dude, Elendil is the elf friend. How many times are we going to, in one season, we have seen so many representations of him as a character that are wrong. That is at this point, you know what? If Isildur is dead, I wouldn't be surprised. I would not. I would be like, yeah, sure. I mean, Gil-galad screwed. Elendil's a mess. Celeborn is dead. Let's just kill Isildur too. And you know what? Let's make Sauron, I don't know, let's make him a linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Sure.
I mean, let's get creative here. And then you've
let's
got
think
like,
outside the box. Okay.
Think outside the box. That's all. I mean, that's it. It was a great episode. I loved it. It's awesome.
Dude.
It really reignited my passion for the show as.
Dude, I know it did. Hey, and let me tell you something right now. You know, look,
gosh,
guys.
Listen, I got a question. It has to bother you a little bit too. Here's what I was thinking, right? This is what this would be like. I was trying to think of a good like Star Wars comparison to really like hit it home. Cause I know most people probably like, Lane, calm down. It's Celeborn. It doesn't really matter, but it does matter. It does matter because if you're going to do that to characters, then like we, like any kind of hope we have for the future, just throw that away. Like throw it away. They can change anything they want, which is so hilarious to me. Like the fact that they can change all these things, but they were afraid to use the name Annatar. Like, my God, I was thinking about how much money they spent for the rights. Couldn't they have just pocketed all that and said, hey, guess what? Go ahead and sue us. We're going to bankroll enough money to pay off any kind of lawsuit settlement with the Tolkien estate. We're going to make it exactly like the book. So it just proves they didn't want to do that. But anyway, like killing off Celeborn to me, I was like, what is a good analogy in Star Wars?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Here's what it would be. It would be going back to Rogue One or even in this Andor show and being like, you know what? Mon Mothma's dead, guys. She's dead.
Whoa, dude.
Mon Mothma's dead. So not like someone we get, especially if you think about just A New Hope. We don't get to know her very well.
Yeah.
We know she's important. She's not even like the biggest important person, but she makes big decisions.
She's there, and we.
She's there.
She's been.
I think she's probably.
Beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. She's more of a Celeborn figure than she is a Galadriel figure, mm-hmm. Or maybe you could even say make it. Who's the fish guy? It's a trap. Make him Ackbar then.
Oh,
let's
man.
Say that Celeborn is Ackbar, okay? Mon Mothma's Galadriel and Celeborn is Ackbar. It would be like going back into previous
– Don't you dare.
Previous, you know, whatever, movies or shows that – or, you know, future shows that go back in time.
How dare you?
And being like Ackbar's dead, guys. Yeah, he's dead. It's all right. It's not going to mess with the timeline or what we know as fans. It's okay.
You know what? Now that you pour me that cup of coffee, I'm going to tell you right now, this – I am absolutely – I am – you know what? That's it. I'm turning to the dark side. Okay.
that's it. It was the Ackbar.
That's it.
The Ackbar thing.
You know, Lane laid a trap and I fell right into it.
It's a trap.
Oh, man. So, I mean, I just did a search.
That's
so
all.
I literally typed in the word. First of all, I accidentally typed in Kella dead, and that's Kella born.
Kella dead.
So I got it wrong. But they corrected me. You mean Kella born is dead.
Thank
I was God. Like, oh, Google's even got this down like 3 hours ago.
Right.
And every single article is he really dead? I mean, everyone's they're going like, what happened? It says he was, you know, like, I'm just reading down through, everyone's losing it.
Okay, then at that point, I'm like, then you lost me. If we're going to like make it like she says he's dead, but he's not really dead. Then we are days of our lives in Middle Earth. Like it literally is just a soap opera.
How long would they have been separated? Right. I mean,
good Lord, man. Like, I mean,
that would have been like, because she's like,
unreal.
She's like, that's the last time I saw him was put
right,
his armor
yeah.
on as he went to battle. I'm like,
okay.
How many thousands of years was that? I mean, or was it?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, we don't even know. We got a condensed timeline, right? So we have no clue.
Yeah, it could have been the future she's talking about. We don't really know. We need Superman to fly around the world.
You know,
and
that
spin
reminds
it back.
Me of since we're mixing fandoms here. You know, you mentioned the future.
Yeah. Why not?
Anyone,
why the hell
if
not?
You want
they are. They clearly are.
They are. If anybody wants something to kind of perk them up, if they need a cup, some people are like chiming in, going, "Guys, I love this episode." No, don't worry, we'll get there.
As
that's still
fine.
Here.
Yeah.
I'm still here. Okay.
I'm happy.
But there's a you know those guys that do the bad lip reading thing for Star Wars, they've done some bad lip reading stuff.
Yes, yes, I love that stuff.
Yeah, one of their songs or whatever was like, it's a long. Oh, how do they put it? It's like a long, long time ago, but it's really the future. You know what I mean? It looks like a long time ago, or it's supposed to be a long time ago, but it looks like the future. It's
the future. That's awesome, dude.
Anyway, but go check that out. I'll leave a link for you guys. Good laugh, have fun with it. You need something. If you need something to perk you up after Kella dead, then I mean, I get it.
Yeah,
because a lot of people dead in this.
It wasn't even just that either. It was.
Oh, I know. Just kind of hanging our head on that. So, let's do this. Let me go over some positives before we
sure
because
we got a couple minutes. That's fine. Yeah,
we got a few minutes. You know what I forgot? You know what I actually have lost a little bit of the. I think it's because we're going so fast and I haven't really had a chance to like. The reason I have enjoyed the Hobbit Hotline. Well, 100%. It's been super fun. It's super exhausting and it's super crazy. But we get in that chat, and that's where we found Anthony. Anthony was in the chat, and then he was you know in there with everybody calling in and stuff. So again, we'll have that on Monday, guys. But it's fun to hear other people come in with their perspectives. And we just had three people on last week. We had people on Monday who love this, still loving it, absolutely loving it and enjoying it.
Yep.
Have not drank that bitter cup of YouTube video. And actually, even at this point, it's not even that. I know there's a lot of people who still haven't seen that or just know what they know or know what good storytelling is. And they may not, you know, again, it's subjective and may not like it. But I think something that has dipped off a little bit or trailed off for me, and maybe because it's just been super busy. But you remember when I was looking for like the 5 points of the tent to the five Astari and trying to, make the connection? That has gone a little bit. I found myself when I looked at the Mystics today going, okay, who in the heck are we? Who is this? And I'm trying to look at their attire and look for clues and look for things that might be, you know, laid there. And I just couldn't. I looked for 2 seconds and then I was just like, I think we're right here at the end, maybe two. I think in the beginning you're more likely to do that as well. And so here I am at the end, just sort of like, just tell me. Give me the final episode too, you know, because I kind of felt we're.
I think there's an element of like mystery fatigue where it's just like and
that's a good word,
honestly, like maybe like the payoffs we've had haven't been super. You know what I mean? Like
you're still really frustrated. And I get your frustration in terms of the characters that we really like, and they're frustratingly not.
I feel like I feel like they're even kind of ruining characters that I did like before. Like, dude, like Nori. And Dilly Bar, whatever her brother's name is, the fact that stupid choices they make cause all the Harfoots to be like, well, this big fella, this giant, he's out. Get him out of here. Get him out of Ireland.
Right.
March him over to England. You see those white cliffs over there? That's where you want to be. Yeah. I'm just like, what? Because of two stupid choices by characters, it's like you're going to blame. And then, of course, like – the minute he leaves, they're like, oh, guys, see, yeah, he was good. I don't know. Like, it's just, I'm not buying, well, it doesn't feel like Middle Earth, man. It. That kind of stuff.
Okay.
No, it doesn't feel, it feels like, I'll tell you what it feels like, bro.
Yeah.
It feels like The Hobbit. It feels very, very similar to The Hobbit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, something
in
that's,
certain aspects.
When you talk about not buying it or even just sort of like something's not landing, things do seem pretty quick. They're not as convincing maybe as we think they should be. It almost seems like it's like so for some of the screen time, it looks like some of the story, you know, could be for a much younger audience than you and I. And I mean, much
maybe,
younger.
So,
you know, to try to make some of those real obvious, we're almost just like it's real obvious. It's really plainly said or whatever. But then you have like horror scenes going on. You know, you've got like
So it's, the balance seems off. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. So I was talking to my dad about this too, and I was like, dude, I think that. Because like the last, I've been voicing my frustrations over the last couple of weeks, and I'm like, the thing about Lord of the Rings, I think that made it. I mean, I gotta stop comparing it, but I'm just thinking of the reaction. Right, was they tried to win Tolkien fans, right, or people who love the books. That like they wanted, if they had to seal the deal on one demographic of viewers, it was going to be those people. Right.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I feel anyway. And then anyone else would become intrigued and drawn into that. I feel like it's the exact opposite. I think it was kind of in the middle with the Hobbit movies. And now I feel like it's the exact opposite with the show. I feel like it is playing to people who have never even heard of Tolkien whatsoever and going, no, we're going to win these people. Screw the people who have any kind of background, people who like the movies, people who like the books. They don't matter. Like a theme we keep hearing over and over in the show is let the old ways die. You know, the past is in the past, like move on. And I think they're literally, I don't even think it's veiled. I think it's a very open, like if you guys, like you think Tolkien was a great guy, you think his stories were great, you're wrong. This is a cool story in Middle Earth. This, what we're doing now, we're moving on, we're moving it into the future. Get on board or get off is what it feels like to me.
Well, and you know what's interesting is that, remember, it was prior to this coming out, they invited all those content creators. Now, granted, we
didn't make the cut.
Maybe we're not content creators. I don't know where we are, but
we might not be.
We're just
a couple
fellas out here in the Shire. We're just hanging out, you know, plugging microphones in. But no, Lane, hey, buddy, we wouldn't know a good trilogy if it showed up in 2001 in our theater, you know, starring Elijah Wood. We wouldn't know it if we
wouldn't know it.
All right,
we wouldn't know. We weren't looking for it. You know what I'm saying? Like we were. I don't know. Like it found us.
It did. Yeah. And it's amazing. You know and that's the I always say. Look, I mean, if other people are enjoying it, I hope they will go check out the trilogy. They're like, this is brand spanking new, because there are those people. I've got students who. I mean, dude, I bring this up because it gives me a window to look into to someone who is like purely, and I wish I could give this kid a shout out, but I can't do that, obviously. So I just, he's such a good kid, and he pops by every day, and he's like, did you see that? Did you see the mountain, dude? I was just like, yeah man, like I was crazy. You know, like, he's like, these like, it blew up. They've been planning this the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, and so that's where I think the audience age range is a lot. You know what I mean? It's a lot. That kind of stuff, the delivery or what they're, where it's landing is not with the likes of us. You know, that it's not, I'm not saying that everybody our age is like us either. I'm not trying to say that, but I guess I mean like, it just feels a little. I don't even know the right.
You calling
word.
Us old as? You calling
I
us old?
I kind of am. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think that you have a fair point though, because well, I mean,
my point, real quick. They were trying though. They had those content creators out there to try to say that's not what we're doing, right? I mean, that was something that they did. So it's odd, and you wonder if they did that because they knew there might be this kind of backlash or something. Not backlash, but just some people would say, hey, I'm not seeing a whole lot of connection to the stuff that we, I don't know, or not enough connections, or I don't know, to secondary material or to Tolkien or or whatever. Because that seemed to be the reason they got behind this, was to talk about how much they knew the lore and what they were kind of doing with it and all this different stuff, you know. So
I mean, if they only saw the prologue of the – if they only saw like the first episode even, I think that would – I think it felt a lot stronger at the beginning. Yeah, even though a lot of things were changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's all they saw, and they would – I would have been encouraged by that first episode too.
Yeah,
I mean
– Yeah, and I don't even mean to doubt – I'm not saying those content creators are – like Payne and McKay. Like they're – the studio organized – that to bring out content creators to almost not reassure them, but to share. This wasn't like a – forget what this was. It was a special screening that they had.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah,
it wasn't like the premiere, you know, where you get to go, which we
– Right. It was like in June or July or something.
Yeah. And it was more just to kind of talk with them, and they talked about some of the things that they're doing. So, I heard tidbits here and there. But I just was kind of saying that it feels like that – you know, they were trying to – I don't know. I don't really know what the angle was.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I don't either.
Yeah, given what we've seen, but anyway, it is nice though. I guess just to be when I see my students or when I see individuals who are really liking it, really enjoying it. Lottie still was like, "This is wow!" Like,
knows nothing,
mind you.
Yeah,
right. And that's the thing is that there is absolutely nothing, and so it's a good example to bring up. Like, if they did something to Luke Skywalker that was, say, changes everything or whatever, and you're like, whoa, because that's the other beef people have with the sequels sometimes, is that, like, well, George Lucas wasn't involved. He could have been more involved. He actually walked away from it, bring up individuals who maybe were involved in this and maybe gave their 2 cents and were paid and left and what, who knows. But it does sting a little bit. And actually, Lottie said today, as I was talking to her, she's like, I can see how, though, because it was actually Celeborn, and it was a Sealdor, because she was like, I don't think he's dead. You know, she's like, I don't think he's dead. And she's like, she has a husband. I mean, she didn't know that Galadriel had a husband.
Yeah.
No clue. So thought that was really cool. But then it was sort of like, yeah, I could see how if that was, because I think I read one of your messages to her on the couch there, and she was kind of like, yeah, if it changes it so much, and that's somebody you really like or whatever, and they're actually dead, that'd be
or just even
awful,
I mean, someone who's know? He's important to the story. It's not like
I get you. Yeah,
it's not like a made up character you kill. Okay, here you go. It's about all right, well, who's the Weasleys love, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
the dad's dead. Yeah. All right, we do a prequel and we learn that he's dead. Oh, what about do we have all the kids in the future?
Yeah.
Like what's gonna happen to that, to the story? Like, it just if you're gonna
even if they're not dead, even what you're saying too is that like even if you change, if you alter the characters, just who they are, their deeds and their the things that they do that make them who they are, and that have shown over the histories, and that we have characters like Samwise reflecting on in the trilogy and stuff, or singing about in the trilogy. So if they're not done right, then it would definitely, if you know where it's going and you don't see it lining up with where it should go, it's frustrating. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, and I guess the other frustrating thing too is, like, Tolkien was unreal, right? I mean, like, story writing and myth building wasn't even his like wheelhouse. It was something that he was kind of also good at, and he was still better than like anyone that who will ever like come after or since. Like, it's just he was crazy. He was once in a lifetime kind of author. And so I think, I don't know. Like, I guess I thought that was going to be more honored. Like, I thought for God's sakes, if anyone's going to know, it's us. Like, we've talked about this damn show for 4 years, and everything that came out with them was honoring Tolkien's work, starting with a map, working with the pillars, trying to, and then, like, to see what we've gotten, that either something really, really changed, or that was never their intent in the first place. And then I can't get over that quote still, where it was like, we want to write the novel that Tolkien never did. Mm-hmm. Like, why? I'm like, so you want to write a book that you think the author of the 20th century should have written? Mm-hmm. That's what you want to do? And to me, that is upsetting, because I love these I love these stories. I love these stories. And I was hoping this would push me into the second age in like a positive, like exciting way, instead of like a, I feel like I'm, to use the analogy of a friend of ours, like I'm eating string cheese when I could be having queso.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant. And I just, to me, I'm like, it didn't, and I think about that kid, right? And I'm glad he's having a great time, and I'm glad people are enjoying the show.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking to myself, in the very small, minuscule understanding I have of the second age, we could be enjoying such a better show. Like, we could be enjoying such, like, so I feel like even people who are loving it aren't getting what they.
Yeah, sure.
And maybe that's all subjective too, but I'm just like, I don't know. I really don't know. Cause I don't know at this point, man, in the show, what makes it Tolkien other than it's set in Middle Earth. I really don't know what makes it feel like a show that's connected to Lord of the, having trouble.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right. You know, I'll say this, and then we'll move into some things that I thought were kind of cool. Bigger takeaways. If you ask me now, and I always try to avoid this over on my Star Wars project, Star Wars Hangout. Guys, come check it out. Good time over there. Trying to stay positive. Enjoying our time watching Andor. Great show. So if you're not enjoying Rings of Power, come over and check out Andor. They're killing it right now. It's great. All right, but. I do want to say, when I was thinking about the sequels, and you and I went and saw, did we go see Rise of Skywalker together? I think we did, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, it was the first. Yeah. No, the last one. We saw the last one together.
That's what I meant. The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, that's what I call it. Yeah, okay. I was thinking Last Jedi.
So I remember after it settled in, and after some time thinking about it and stuff, I thought, you know, could I, just like you said, could you do something? Is there a cup of tea out there that's better, and people just don't know it's out there. You're right. Like, man, you're missing out. Like, we could have had it, this, you know. And I think about that a little bit in terms of like the sequels, as crazy as that, because I'm so passionately into it, have read all the novels, knew where they were pulling every time they did something on screen, and it was in like an allusion to something in Legends or whatever. I knew it. I was like, boom, this has been done before. I've seen that. I know where that's coming from, and piecing it all together. And then when I saw it all kind of come out, I was like rooting for it super hard, and it all kind of, you know, came out.
So
like,
flat.
There was no plan. They didn't plan this out, and they didn't have a cohesive story and plan or whatever. So for me, anyways, I at least got to say, like, I'm. Even though if it feels a little bit like drawn out here in this first season, because I really thought we were going to be picking up in, I mean, I know we just had Mount Doom like created in one episode, which was awesome and crazy, and that battle scene gets moved up. But like you said, we're still sort of trying to figure out who everybody is and what's going on, and I guess Hallbrand is injured riding all the way back to Linden. I don't know how they're going to. It's a long way. It's a long way.
To speak to your point, I hope that. Having a bad plan is better than having no plan. That's what I hope. I mean,
well, yeah, you know what I mean? That's like, what I'm trying to say.
You can have a plan, but if it's not a great plan, then I don't know that it's any better than.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It could. And that's the thing. It's sort of. We lost him. And we lost him, friends. Ah, tea is strong. Coffee is strong tonight. Man,
sorry about that.
Ooh, the shadows
got to me.
Yeah. Shadows are getting so
weird. The reception in Mordor is just not what it used to be.
Southland
Cellular was awesome, but now that this Mordor company moved in, it's back to 3G. I don't know, something bad conduction in the air.
Rondir didn't think about what the effects of tearing that tower down. He didn't
right,
think
dude,
that all
no.
the way through.
That was a cell tower, dog. That's 5G. Yeah. Dude, come on, man.
There's somebody across the way like, oh, are you kidding me, man? They're clicking
Palantir
their TV.
Needed that.
I can't stream Rings of Power. Gosh dang it.
Selfish pig.
Son
like,
of
come
a
on.
Gun, man. Trying to save his people over there. I get it, but come on. Crazy.
Shoot, man.
So, okay. All right.
What did you like about this episode?
Yeah, let's get in what we like about it. So, let me see here. There was I always do. So far, I have not. I know they've drug it out, and that's a little critique in terms of, is this Gandalf? Is this not Gandalf? It's not going to be revealed. Mm-hmm. It probably won't even be revealed next episode. I can't imagine how it would be, because he's yet to really start speaking and talking, unless they're just going to say, they're going to name him Gandalf. I feel like they're going to call him by his Maiar name or something, and we're going to be like, oh, piece this together. And for what does that do for the mainstream viewer? I don't know. And this is where there's like some of these, like, it's here's an olive branch to Tolkien readers who will know that oh, that's his name when he was in Valinor. And I have no clue what's going to happen there. I'm still excited for it. I still am locked in. I still want to know. And I think a lot of this too is like, so far I feel really good about that. I feel really good about like Elrond and Durin, and I felt like those actors are killing it. They're doing a great job. And by the way, all the actors are killing it. They're doing a great job. Mm-hmm. And doing just really good acting, honestly. And they're killing the costume design, all that good stuff. But I feel like those stories have been more important to me, and I cared more about them than I did the Numenoreans and Elendil and stuff like that. It just comes down to my preference in terms of who I like or whatever. Mm-hmm. So far so good. It is the back and forth with, like, as you mentioned earlier, Nori, and they're getting in trouble. They're not in trouble. They can't read the stranger. Is he good? Is he bad? Blah, blah. That has gone on for a long time. That I will give you. Yeah. It has gone on a long time. And because you thought, like, okay, we had the freezing arm in the water. He saves them. But then, the fireflies die. And it's just been drug out for a long time. He's even trying. Well, he's just put his hand on the tree. And the Harfoots have got to be smart enough. He didn't cause that limb to fall on
him. They're not smart enough to figure that out. I mean, that's the thing. Every time they build up a good character or group, they just shoot it in the foot.
Yeah.
Or the hairy foot. I mean, that's just, they were like, oh, he intentionally tried to hurt little Dilly. Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Now they're gonna send him off, and it,
yeah,
because they already kind of did that in terms of Nori runs away. Everyone's
back to
talking
the, back
about
the line
and everything, and yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, back of the line. It starts with that, and then even Nori, and then this episode. And so I don't know. It's a little bit It definitely is drawn out, but I just want to freaking know. They still have me locked in terms of, like, Ez wants to know who that is, and I'm going to be around until you tell me, and I want to know and all of that. And I might be sitting here, if they say, I don't know, I'm trying to think of ways, almost anticipating, like, are there ways that they could lead me down a path that I'd be like, did you really just kill one of the characters from the trilogy? Like, did you really? Like, I don't know. When I was thinking about what might, after I read your text about that character, and I was looking the whole episode, I'm like, who is this character that Lane says dies from the trilogy or whatever? And I was thinking about ways in which that could be corrected. I'm like, dude, they're just seeing this whole thing through, like, a Palantir. The episode's going to come to the season end, and it will be back in Numenor, Galadriel lifting her hand back off the Palantir.
Jeez, that would be awesome.
And she's just like, wow, I can't leave. I have to stay here. I need to go to Valinor. It's all
over. I'd actually be in favor of that, honestly. Yeah. That would actually be all right. Or it was a dream. She could wake up and be like in, I don't know, in Eregion, and waking up from a dream thinking, oh my gosh, wow, that was crazy. What a nightmare.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have eaten nachos last night.
Yeah. So anyways, I still really like the stranger aspect and what's going on there. The mystics kind of freak me out. I don't know what's going on. I wish there would have been, you just get that, the first time you see him, they're there, they're tracking him. Okay. We get that. They look kind of scary, and I'm thinking, are they going to try to make them good? And we think they're scary. No, they're just bad. It seems like,
bad.
And then so they attack the Harfoots, can't do that and come back from it. So we are starting to see it sort of roll out, and we see where it's going. It's just real slow. It's just a real slow burn. So that's okay. It's a week by week, everyone, talking about it and what have you. I feel like this show is better on as a binge. Really, I do. I normally don't say that. Normally I like to sit around and cover things week to week and just get after it. But the more I see some of these TV shows, I'm like, yeah, I get, like, Netflix was so popular because of the binge worthiness. People are just like, those shows were designed to be binged. And they know that's going to be an after effect. They know that you're going to have the week-to-week thing where people talk about it. And then they know some people are saying, I ain't watching that until it all comes out. And then they're going to go on a weekend ride and be like, this was whatever. Whether they think it's awesome, garbage, whatever they might think, who knows. Yeah. But I feel like it's a totally different experience when you binge something. And you don't even have time to sit here and process and think about all the different things week to week. So there's that aspect. But like in The Stranger, another thing okay, here we go. Back to Elrond and Durin. The bit here, I do just like the friendship between them, and I really like that they're trying to. I thought it was a joke. I thought
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whole the leaves of Linden being poisoned and whatnot, and Mithril wouldn't do anything. I still don't understand that I'll give you this. I don't. So just the proximity of the Mithril is going to seriously, and that's why they all
get it, because it doesn't make any sense. Like, it's not rooted in any kind of mythological or even natural sense. It's just, hey, we're going to try to connect these two things, and we think we're clever and we're going to be like groundbreaking. Yeah. And instead, it's clunky and it doesn't work, and it makes the elves seem like dwarves and the dwarves seem more like elves.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So, yeah, let's heal the trees. Let's heal the trees with a rock.
Yeah.
Or
a
mineral. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
And I get the thing, too, that, like, you know, they bring up the legend of the Silmaril or whatever. And unless you really know, because I have Lottie sitting there right next to me, and she's like, so what are those?
Yeah.
You know, and so she doesn't know what they are.
Right.
And there might have been a line that we missed where they said something, you know what I mean, about them and the light and how precious they were or whatever and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, the guy who created them was kind of a jerk. And they really led to a lot of peril and a lot of and I get that they captured the light of the trees and stuff like that or whatever, and so that's the whole point. But I had to go explain all that, and so that is why has this healing effect. And she was like, "Oh, okay, cool," you know. And then once you hear that, you're like, "Good." But I guess if you don't have somebody there sort of explaining it, you're like, "I mean, it just, I guess from a far away, if you're really distant and you're not looking at the lore, and you're somebody who's coming in fresh, just a show watcher only." You're looking at it going, okay, it's some magic rock, and, you know, it's the dwarves are rock people, right? Stone, and there was some crazy battle, and it seeped down in there, and this is something special. The elves need it. I mean, it's real basic. It's on a real just like, but
yeah,
I don't know,
yeah.
But anyway, so that part I will give you. It's a little bit like for me, even I was like, does Gil-galad really mean we need to clothe every single one of them in like mithril? I mean. That's
he wants to grind it up and put it as potting soil for all the trees of the future.
Oh, hey, okay, all right, you know.
I mean, I don't know. Like, it's, yeah, I think it's weak. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. The friendship between Durin and Elrond is I still think cool. They're still trying to have an exchange here, and Durin's working, you know, his father's super, you know, dwarvish.
Yeah, Yeah, D3 got heated this episode, man.
They both got really crazy. They really got after each other.
Wild. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was cool. I mean, I actually forgot there was a Balrog. Durin's Bane.
Yep.
So was awakened by a leaf.
Yep. Yeah, apparently.
So, I mean,
that was it.
All that hammering going on up there, and it just took a leaf falling down there. And one little leaf. He said, I don't think so.
That's enough.
That's enough of that.
Leave it alone.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, anyways, he's awake now. We're going to see, I guess, more of that going forward. But it's cool. I mean, it was neat. You know, that's a neat little nugget, I guess. And then the Mithril, you know, that all being there is interesting. And you get that Durin is D3 is being stubborn. And D4 is wanting to, he wants his father to believe in him and to.
Yeah, and then you've got the whole Disa aspect of her saying, like, you know, well, just he's an idiot. We're going to outlive him. This is our stuff anyway. It's going to blow up. It's just going to blow up.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah, so she is definitely when she was giving him that speech and she was talking to him about, you know, how he was she was encouraging him just to kind of, well, she was calling him, you know, calling his father a bunch of bad names, and then we had sort of the names that he called her mother, I think, or something. You know?
Yeah, I love that. That was
so
great.
That was funny. That was awesome. In reality a little bit. But then though she definitely has a ambitious side to her that was 100%. Sort of, she's very kind there. And very, you know, but at the same time was sort of like, no, I'm gonna push you to be you're next up. Like, he can throw away as many of the, you know, whatever they were, the runic collars or whatever, and you're still it. So
still the prince.
So I guess he's got a brother who is next in line now or something.
Yeah, was that literal, or was that just because I don't know if that was. Yeah, like, I thought maybe it was just
about
like
Elrond, his actual brother, who we almost gave.
Yeah, I almost felt like it was kind of like a just like, well, you don't have a brother, so it can't even be a brother kind of. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But it might have. They might be alluding to. I don't know. I mean, I don't. Yeah, I guess I don't know, because Isildur's got a brother that's just not going to be around for a while, or that we know of anyway. So
hey, we got four. We got four seasons. Be. All right.
Yeah, and at this rate, we'll get them for the finale of season 5. But you're right. Yeah, you're right. We kind of have time, I guess. I mean, when there's no timeline, we can do whatever we want. So
have they greenlit all those seasons? I don't know.
Man, I hope so. I really do.
Yeah. Theo, it was kind of cool to see Theo, like, you know, just with Galadriel, I guess. I mean, he had those sort of eyes for her, and, you know, who is that sort of moment where he thought she was super cool and whatever. Yeah. And at least in this episode, I think what people wanted from Galadriel showed up here in Mordor, but they wanted it 3-4 episodes ago, which is some recognition that darkness and shadows and how they consume and how she's been consumed by this war and all these different things. And just kind of interesting. And it's interesting she drops, like, you know, Celeborn's name to Theo, of all people. Right. It's
right.
Just interesting who we've paired people with. The pairings are kind of like, oh, I'm like, whoa, they're like together. And it's just interesting because I thought they wouldn't be, but it's chaos. You know, they're immortal.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. Let me see here. The other thing. So we have them talking for a bit. Yeah, I didn't like. So Muriel is blind, right?
So, I mean, at least right now, who knows? Maybe she'll drink Cappy juice and get all better.
Yeah,
she could, but yeah, she can't see.
Yeah, she well, and her father said, you know, all that's waiting for you in Middle Earth is darkness.
Darkness. There you go. Quite literally.
Yeah, that was kind of wild.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah, that is wild.
So Farazan is still there in Numenor, and her father is there. But didn't she say she was descended from someone else?
Yeah, she used like his
His
other name, maybe. Or no, it wasn't, because Tar Palantir. I was confused by that too. I'm like, who's this other Tar person? I don't.
Yeah, and she
is
said
that like
R
a grandfather or something. Maybe. Oh, did she say R or something?
Yeah.
Then she used the Adonic or Adunic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe a name. I don't know.
Yeah,
I thought that was weird though. I didn't understand that.
Because, like, I was like, why doesn't she just talk about her?
Well, maybe because she knows that like elven stuff might get people up in arms or something, and Tar Palantir is an elf friend.
Yeah,
maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why. I mean, Galadriel is like crying in this scene where she's talking to Muriel. So definitely moved, because the queen supported her here, came here, and Galadriel's continued this fight, and This was going to happen regardless of whether she came here or not. So none of them are right to blame for this. It's they tried, whereas other didn't try.
Right.
I mean, that's part of the beef a little bit, right? Is that?
I don't understand like the whole. I don't understand why it seemed like if you go and fight evil, like you're responsible for more evil. I don't really understand that angle. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like the fact that she's struggling with this because it's something that Gil-galad said. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't make any sense to me. Like I don't think that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like if you go to, you know what I'm saying? Like if you go to overcome something, that you are responsible for that thing in and of itself. That seems like a strange.
Yeah.
So yeah, the fact that she's still struggling with that, I'm like, what? Because she even says that in her conversation with Theo. She's like, this is all my fault. Like, no, it's actually Waldreg who turned the key. Him. It's not your fault, Galadriel. Like you were doing what everyone else.
Quit stealing credit from Waldreg. All right.
Give him his
due, man.
Add our father, Lord of the Southlands, you know. No, it's got a new name. Yeah, that to me seems like maybe that's a more modern thing that's being put in, that concept that like, hey, if you fight for something, then you're responsible for creating more of a bad thing. I don't know. You know what I mean? Does that feel like something that makes sense to you?
No, at first, when she first talked about it, it definitely did not. When she first sort of said that, like, when she was talking to Hallbrand and she was just like, I can't stop, right? She was trying to say that she can't. I think the problem is that these things are spread out too far. And so if these conversations seem to be spread too thin, sort of like, you know, our good friend Bilbo used to talk about, they were just scraped over too much bread, butter, right?
They could just be like ideas that aren't really. I mean, I don't know. I will be interested to see how a binge rewatch would play out.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's going to And the other thing too, the danger of like binge watching is you're like, oh, cool. Yeah. It's like, take your medicine, drink it real fast. Don't think about it. Don't have any conversations about it. You know, it's like, okay, it's cool. And then you don't end up talking about it because it's not memorable.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, true. So, I mean, the thing, I mean, I guess the idea that someone is going to go, you know, so far in their pursuit of like destroying an evil that they become that evil is,
well, then
that's something that Batman faced. That's one of the themes that he faces sometimes, is that you don't want to become the villain that you are fighting or whatever, right? You don't want to kind of drift into those things. I mean, there's some I think there's some, you know, it's probably in lore or something, but in you know, Jedi, who you go too far, you tap into too many things, you become too angry, you become too whatever, you give in to the dark side, and therefore you've become the villain that you were sworn to, whatever. So that seems like what they were trying to do, right? I don't know. Like, this seems like what they're trying to do with Galadriel. To me, I just felt like it was, you have to track this conversation over so many different episodes to get to this point, too, where she's now even coming, you know, to...
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
So that to me was maybe one of the issues they're having to, you know, that's struggling to convey their message a little bit. Yeah, probably. But anyway, so she's talking to Theo, and, you know, because Theo's thinking he's part of the problem, too, and she gives him the sword, and so that's, you know, it's kind of neat. He's a soldier now, I guess. Because I thought he was going to the dark side, you know, straight, like, he and Waldreg were going to be buds, and we still don't know who his father is. Does that even matter? Or is that something we shouldn't even have been asking? I don't even know.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, it would be nice to know. But, I mean, I guess maybe it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess.
That's kind of the problem I'm having, too, is, like, it's these questions that we have, and it's like, that doesn't even – same worth – don't worry about it. That's not a thing. It's like, well, is it a thing or is it not a thing? Like, we talked about his dad leaving, like, for two straight episodes.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't worry – he doesn't think about that at all, even though –
Yeah,
I don't know. He's in these crises all the time, and it's like he doesn't know when to turn to. Really,
Bronwyn's
like,
kind of the leader of their group without a king.
And yeah,
so
right.
That's I think the only reason we raised it to the level of questioning that we did was to sort of say, okay, Bronwyn's like the leader here. He has this, you know, even though it's in Waldreg's. Honestly, it's a second watch and a third watch where I kind of figured out, oh, who's Waldreg? He's the guy chopping the fish or whatever, and that's the barn that they're in. You don't know that that's his barn.
Yeah.
You hear him say it real quick and real fast. It's the stuff you pick up on a rewatch.
Right.
But you're like, okay, so they're in there, and he now has these marked. He's got this special sword that is tying him by blood back to what we thought was Sauron, or Mordor. And I guess that's why we've been questioning. Maybe it'll be revealed, and maybe it'll be cool, and maybe it's just his father was, who knows?
Nobody.
Don't know. So that one's sort of a mystery, but I think we're okay to question. I think that's what we wonder who he is, and I don't know. Maybe it's just maybe as Star Wars did in the sequels. It's a story for another time. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
So right. Right.
So there we go. Now the other thing was Mordor. Mordor is created, and it's now named by Adar.
Yeah.
So it's not Sauron.
Right.
So it's not Sauron who creates it. Like, is Adar working at his request? He's not. He split him in two. I don't know. Right. There's still lots of question marks there, or whatever. But it does seem like he names, the caption appears over top of him. He's considering a new name, and they come up.
What do you think about that? Mordor. The way that was revealed.
Yeah, I was a little
pretty hokey, wasn't it? I mean, in my mind, I was like, "What? Like, this is how we're gonna do this?" Like, I thought for sure they were gonna go cheesy, and he was gonna be like, "This is not the Southlands anymore. It's Mordor." And then they didn't even do that. They like panned up to the sky and gave us a caption and then made it burn out, and then we saw more. I was just like, what?
Yeah, let me go back.
Literally was sitting there watching it, finishing up the episode, and I'm like, what is happening? I said out loud to myself, what is this? What is going on?
Let me see if he actually
he doesn't say anything. I don't believe he does. I think it's just literally the text that changes, and it's like, man alive.
Yeah.
Like, if it wasn't clear before, guys, welcome to Disneyland.
Hail Adar. Adar, Lord of the Southlands. Lord of the Southlands. And he's just walking around. He's looking. Let's see here. What's he say? I'm just watching it again. I've only seen it once. I literally just saw it like 20 minutes ago. So
He
says, no. That is the name of a place that no longer exists.
Right.
Okay. So the Southlands no longer exists. What should we call it instead, Lord Father?
Look to the stars, my son.
He zooms in here. Adar, they're chanting in the background. Waldreg just walks away. Doesn't even get his answer. He just walks away.
Yeah, right.
And he
doesn't care.
I mean, so I guess they kind of get, since they're just chanting Adar, he never says it. He never says it.
Right. That's why it's so goofy. It's just like, what?
So he never says that way. You know what that is, though? Because that kind of, one of my concerns is like, why is the first person to say it? Because I was thinking he said it, you know, that he said it's more. Right. Not that he's, but like, I don't know that he more directly said it's something to do with the naming of it. He has nothing to do with it. Apparently, it's just this, that's the Southlands no longer exist. So it is now just Mordor. And it's sort of like breaking the, I don't know what you call it, breaking the fourth wall or whatever. Like, we're just shown as the audience, here it is, with a title that it's Mordor. And because otherwise, I mean, we know this is Sauron's domain, right? We know this is his land, and he uses Mount Doom. That's a little hokey, as you said. But I think, though, had it have been delivered from Adar, wouldn't we also be kind of like, one,
it'd both be bad. It's both bad. I mean, I don't know that they even needed to.
Unless think you could just Adar is up. Sauron, and they're just like, why?
I mean,
but he's already.
But he's an elf.
He said he killed him, and then he said these are his children, and he said a lot of different things. Too many lies going. He's father of lies. Who knows? I don't know.
So I have a question. I guess I don't have clarity on this. When he is Annatar, is he an elf? Is Annatar like an elf?
Yeah, I think he's just taking.
Does he have pointy ears, an elven form?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that makes that could, but he's definitely not a.
So
yeah,
someone
like a giver
said
of
they
gifts,
don't right? have the right at all to use.
Yeah,
the
for the
name.
So I went back. I did a very light. I'm gonna once the season's over, I'm gonna dig into the appendices. So when we have this big season one autopsy or review or whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
I want to like actually dig into the appendices and see what they really actually did, because I feel like they've done both things. They've said they don't have rights to things, and then they've also put stuff in that they said they didn't have rights to. So I don't know that they're being totally like clear or transparent on exactly. And I think that's intentional kind of, but I looked real briefly, and even when it's in the timeline, the only place I could think of where Annatar would be named, well, I guess I didn't dig into the whole fall of Numenor that's in there briefly. Which does talk about Pharazôn like capturing him and all these things, bringing him back to Numenor. So, but in the timeline, it says Sauron takes a form and deceives the elves. Annatar isn't, at least in the timeline part, isn't named. So yeah, they might not have the rights to that, I guess. I don't know.
Let's see. Because that's pretty interesting. Hold on a second.
Because to me, I'm thinking the name isn't even what's important at this point. Like seeing some sort of it's because that's the thing. Like, okay, so you can change the name. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the name is. Like, it matters if you represent who Annatar was. And right now, he's nowhere. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing too. Is like when you start messing with the timeline, it's like, well, I don't. Are they even going to have a need for him? Like.
Wow.
I mean, Mordor's made, and there's no rings or anything, and anywhere, and Celebrimbor's around, but he's not making rings yet.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. There's no rules.
Yeah, well, this is interesting. So again, I always go back to this Vanity Fair article where they said, "So what did Amazon buy? We have the rights solely to the Fellowship of the Ring, the Two Towers, the Return of the King, the Appendices, and the Hobbit." Payne says, And that is it. We do not have the rights to the Silmarillion, the Unfinished Tales, the Histories of Middle-earth, or any of those other books. So, I mean, can't even – so things that aren't mentioned – things that are mentioned in the – what's it called? The back half of the Silmarillion, the Second Age? The
Calibeth.
All Calibeth, yeah. I'll call Beth right now, and I'm gonna tell you she better pick up.
Tell you what's up.
My sister's middle name's Beth, so shout out to her. All right, so maybe I'll call her. She's got thoughts. I've been waiting for her to get on this and let me know what she thinks, because had no clue. She would have no clue, and she's gonna get caught up because she's gonna be down for our little shindig. So.
Oh yeah, heck yeah, man. Yeah,
but anyways, it's so they don't have any of the rights to this stuff, so. It's wild that we went here, I guess, of all places. And
well, that was one of the criticisms was, if you don't have extensive rights to the Second Age, why are you making a Second Age show? Here's the other thing too that is interesting. Like, I just did a real brief glimpse, and there's like the whole. I mean, essentially, you have the bones and structure of the Silmarils and the story of Fëanor crafting them and Morgoth and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, if you could, I looked at that. I'm like, you could totally. Fill in enough gaps. There's at least in that little snippet, there was more of an actual real plot that happened in Tolkien's myth and lore that they have the rights to than we've seen this season.
Yeah.
There's way more there for an even wilder or older, I should say, tale that could have been adapted and filled in the gaps. I think they wanted to do something different, man. I really think that the intentions that we were sold on at the beginning are not either they changed by like studio execs or something.
Yeah.
Or it was always the plan.
So here's something. So
yeah.
They said there's a version of everything we need for the Second Age in the books we have the rights to. So there's a version of everything.
Right.
There's a version of everything we need for the Second Age in the books we have the rights to. Here we go.
Right.
As long as we're painting in those lines and not contradicting something we don't have the rights to, there's a lot of
leeway. Killing Celeborn.
Yeah, as long as we're not contradicting something we don't have the rights to. So if they do have the rights
you can contradict it. Like what?
Yeah, we're
you know
not.
What I'm saying? So like, if you do have the rights to something, then you are allowed to contradict it. I guess is what they're saying. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
As long as we're not egregiously. Yeah, there we go. There's the word.
Right. Like egregiously, what?
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot of leeway and room to dramatize and tell some of the best stories that Tolkien ever came up with. That's a quote. Mm-hmm. That's a quote. This is a quote.
No, Pain, I know. Yeah. I think that it changed. I think that these quotes.
These quotes were given. This interview was done after everything's in the can, after scripts and everything. After PJ
yeah, that's
was
true too. I mean,
so
this interview's done
so late in the game that I mean, it couldn't have changed between this interview and the release of the show.
Yeah. So I don't know.
You'd have to go back and you know. So anyway, so we took all of these little clues and thought of them as stars in the sky that we then connected to write the novel that Tolkien never wrote about the Second Age. Let's see. They cited Fall of Gil-galad, Song of Arendil, Council of Elrond, The Shadow of the Past, and or concerning hobbits. Yeah, beyond the premiere. Yeah. Let's see. Concerning Hobbits section of the prologue as sources for significant lore dumps before the premiere. Let's see. There aren't any, however, any significant time jumps or thus far episode long journeys to the past. The rights to the First Age material from the Silmarillion are still owned by the Tolkien estate. But what about the Second Age? I mean, just, you know.
Right. Exactly. That's what's confusing. And then even like I didn't realize there's First Age stuff in the appendices, because I never really, I mean, I wasn't ever curious. I would glance over it, but the stuff I really loved was, the tale of Arwen and Aragorn, that section, and then like the whole timeline of seeing exactly what happened when and in what year, how the especially like the Third Age shaped out. Everything else I've just kind of always glanced over. You know, there's the Durin's folk that's in there, and there's the stuff on, you know, the Elven people and in the past and stuff. So there's bits and pieces of everything and just in the appendices. Mm-hmm. I feel like there would be, I don't know, enough, but
yeah,
it's fine. It's all good. I do like that we're doing like this whole good cop, bad cop thing though. Like this is kind of a new twist. Like we've never had this on the show. And I think like people are going to, I think it'll be good for people though, that we're not,
hey, we're fair and balanced.
We're balancing. Yeah, there you go. Okay. We're balancing each other. I mean, we're not seeing the same things, and that's not a bad thing.
Some people are
going to
lose their minds because I said fair and balanced. But,
fair and balanced news of Middle Earth.
Just thought about that. Hold on a second. What news channel is watching?
Oh, shoot.
Buddy,
man,
I watch
hilarious.
All of them because I live in a purple state. All right? Amen.
Purple state, baby. Hey. Yeah.
But, that's interesting. Because I am still excited. Like Fridays come around and I'm like, let's go. I flip on Twitter and I still do have that fire of like, you know, what's next? What are they gonna do?
Yeah,
because to me now it's so crazy that it's sort of like, wow, I don't even freaking know. The fact that when they did drop Celeborn's name, I was sort of like, what? And even Lottie's like, she's got a husband. Like what?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here like, oh yeah, remember the things I wasn't going to tell you about the show? Like, because she's on the newbie panel Lord of the Rings watch party.
She can't know. Yeah,
I can't tell her any of this stuff. But we're just, you know, so enjoying that ride, and just it really has turned in for me though. I guess more of I'll give you an example in Star Wars when. They're doing this thing called like Tales of the Jedi. It's coming out. It's just some prequel stuff, more stories on Ahsoka and Count Dooku or whatever. And does it really? It just adds context to a story that's already there, and it's not on the same level as something really. I don't know. It's just not on the same level as like Obi-Wan or Andor or a new movie or a new trilogy.
Right.
Like if you went somewhere else in the Star Wars timeline and you said, "Boom, we're gonna go do this big bad thing." And this should, I think that the argument here would be that like, well, hold on a second. They are actually going back to the Second Age, and they said that full on in all their promotional stuff. We're going back to the Second Age. So we're here, and it should be, and it should feel to me, someone who's a Tolkien fan, really big and monumental, but really it did at first. I will say that now it's more just like, I'm just here for an enjoyable ride. I'm finishing the roller coaster ride, and
I mean,
you know,
I think the advantage of being a Star Wars fan too, though, that you guys have is you just named like 30 things.
Oh, true. I know there's not much.
You have
right.
like 30 things. So if there's like five of those 30 things that knock it out of the park, it's like, all right, yeah, the other ones, they don't matter as much. Like, they're extra, they're icing, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like name adaptations in Middle Earth. And hey, and it's because it's so difficult and because they're just...
That's a good point. I was out there at Weird Leather and Mead with Travis Sigler. Shout out to him. Who, just because of scheduling, we weren't able to have him on tonight. So shout out to him, brother. Yeah. Thank you. We're going to have...
Also Max Leaning. Yep. Shout out. Yep.
Thanks, guys. We'll get around to him. We'll have him on at some point for sure, because I know you guys are sort of like... I know everyone was looking forward to the guest. They were hardcore looking forward to the guest today, and they're like, well, when are they coming on? Sorry, guys. But what I was going to say is that is Travis had me out there, and I had, what's it called, like a flight of of different meads or whatever. And me tell you what, there was enough coming that if one wasn't that great, it didn't matter, because there was about four or five more that I could sip on. So I get you there in terms of when there's not a whole lot, because that's the big thing. That's why this has so many weight. People invested in weight. Yeah, for sure. And that's, I guess what I was trying to say is that, like, it has, the weight that I felt when we started has shifted. And I don't take it as serious. I'm now seeing that, like, it really is affected by, there's choices that they made to start this with the time condensing. They're irreversible. And you're playing, as you said, other places are calling, it's their fiction. It's their story. It's their version, influenced by the events of Tolkien and things that happened in Middle Earth. It's sort of come to a point where it's like, I just want to see some cool nuggets. I want to see some cool interactions. I want to laugh. I want to laugh during it. I want a good chuckle here and there, because I still think one of the best lines was Turin said, when he said to Elrond that he wouldn't remember his own reflection if he were staring at, staring at the mirror. I need more of those, because I need to put those in my back pocket for dad jokes down the line.
Pretty good.
So anyway, but stuff like that, I want to laugh. I want to be have some more emotions and stuff. I'm not sad when I probably should be sad. I think when they want you to be super, when those lines hit that should be maybe evoking more emotion from me, they haven't been here in the last few episodes. But still, I'm enjoying it. I am actually absolutely still enjoying it, still having a great time, and looking forward to the final episode. So, Well, friends, this might be the shortest episode that Lane and I have ever done.
Write it down.
Write her down, baby. Write her down.
Add it to the historical landmarks of an unexpected podcast.
Yeah. Could have been shorter, by the way. I just want you
to... Could have been shorter.
I did what I could. I gotta say, to end on a positive, just looking at some of the cast and stuff like this, I have the X-ray up here, and I'm looking at I think his name is Joff Morrell, who plays Waldrig. He's like my new favorite guy now. Just I'm checking him out. I want to see what he's in and everything, and Joseph Maul and some of the actors, and I think for me the show, just getting to meet some of these other people and seeing what they're in, it's been really cool. Remember when we, it feels so far away. What is Emma Horvath in Numenor? How's she doing?
Yep.
She okay?
I don't know. Yeah, she's probably, the future.
She's the future queen or what?
Bride of what's his name?
Farazan
or something?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, maybe.
Could you imagine if Farazan took his son's girlfriend? This would turn into like Game of Thrones, man.
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel like it'd be a little more interesting if they did, but... Or if it did, I should say.
Yeah. Well, anyways. All right. Well, friends, there you go. There's our breakdown of episode 7, The Eye. Now, hold on a second before we leave you. The Eye. What was The Eye? Where was The Eye at? I'm trying to remember.
It was a lack of, like not being able to see. Opened with Galadriel's eye. The very first scene was her opening her eye, and then Muriel couldn't see.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
And everyone's,
I was looking for the eye of Sauron,
Yeah, I mean, but I guess they could put it in there, but it's not, that's not around yet, but.
Yeah, Lane's like,
maybe it is, though. Who knows? Well, yeah.
Lane's like, maybe they don't have the rights to it, I don't know.
Right.
I'm kidding.
They can't even use the name Sauron. Oh, whoops, we already did.
Yeah. Well, all right, friends. Hey, appreciate you guys. Like, subscribe, send us your thoughts. If you guys disagree and think there's some cool stuff we missed, which there might have been, obviously, like this episode, there was definitely a lot going on. And this is the first time where I haven't had a chance to go back and actually rewatch it a second time or, you know, beforehand. I know I typically get a couple watches in, and today I just got super busy and only watched it once. So if you guys see something, let us know. Feel free. Hit us up on Monday. We're going to have the Hobbit Hotline live again. I think we're going to be 8:30 to 10:30. So you guys want to pop in there, check it out, give us your thoughts.
Good time. Yep.
So, all right, friends. Well, Lane, I think that's it, buddy.
Yeah, that's it. Shadow Facts, send us one of those. Yeah, and unfortunately, Antimo lives no more.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.